It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
Morning, Alex.
Hello, how are you? So, all right, well, first of all, so we're talking about superheroes today.
Hi.
Hello.
How was your weekend?
Hello, yeah. It was great. We're settled in. Yep. There are heroes among us and they live on our television screens.
Just a source ad, man.
Radio waves too, which is television without pictures. Off air, I confessed my favourite superhero, and so did Johnny, but you did not confess yours, Mikey. So who is it?
I don't know if I can. I did tell you a few. I made a few confessions, didn't I?
You certainly did. Ones that maybe aren't appropriate for morning radio consumption, but
I just think Batgirl changed my life.
She did. She sure did. So
it changed my life in a way that all young boys' lives are changed. At a certain age, I guess, but a pivotal point nevertheless.
I don't really remember Batgirl.
I certainly do remember Batgirl.
So I kind of have two.
Anyway, so yeah, but I started off with, you asked me, you've asked me a question, let me answer.
All right.
I started off with an Aquaman, like one of my first action figures that I ever had, doll sort of thing, was an Aquaman doll, and maybe a Tarzan, and a Tarzan doesn't really count though, but that was just, and then,
it's not really super.
And then, but for a long time I had a Captain America full door size poster on the back of my door in my bedroom, and it was cool as shit, until America went all bung, and then, hey, I'm trying to think. Who am I? Batman. I'm a big fan of Batman.
There are a lot of superheroes on our television screens, and they have been for a long time.
Too many.
TV and superhero and the superhero genre have always had a very intertwined relationship.
More than movies and superheroes.
Potentially.
Yeah. What they started out, the like TV serial. I
haven't done the numbers, but you can think back to earlier iterations of so many superheroes, like the Hulk and Batman, obviously, the Adventures of Lois and Clark, to name a few. And the thing about this genre is that it's not going away. It's not going anywhere. These shows are still so popular. And initially, you were relying on a star and the appeal of a star to kind of carry those shows. And now we've kind of swung the other way. And with Hollywood's,
I just found it in time since we mentioned it.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
He's essentially just a man painted green, which is kind of amazing to think what it is now.
The creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative reporter.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, yeah! Boom, boom, boom! Love the Hulk.
So carry on. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Hulk as well, actually. So we sort of, these days we have less stars, I think, in our superhero shows, and what these sort of production houses are relying on is the clout of the intellectual property and the brand and the genre itself to kind of bring in these viewers. And I kind of, I feel like idealistically I'd like to sit here and talk about how the successful shows like Stranger Things and The Handmaid's Tale and blah, blah, blah is sort of an indication or a signal of viewer fatigue with people wearing a cape. But you do a bit of research and you come across these
stats. Have you ever worn a cape?
Yeah, I've worn a cape.
What? When's the last time you wore a cape?
Of course I've worn a cape.
It's very empowering.
Probably at a dress-up party several years ago.
Just try wearing one out. Like say if you pop in a Golden Dawn or something like that, or you going to a show.
Some superheroes don't wear capes. The Flash does not wear a cape. And that was the fifth most popular show in 2016. Would you have thought that? Behind Game of Thrones, behind The Walking Dead, behind Pretty Little Lies, and behind Westworld.
What?
Yeah.
I like The Flash, but I always thought that show was really rubbish, to be honest.
I mean, I'm going to contend that point in a second.
Are you?
Yeah. But it's fascinating to me because I didn't know, I wasn't really aware the scale of popularity of these shows, and they are pulling in the viewers. And okay, so
The Flash, that really blows me because I've watched it.
Yeah.
I just don't think as a TV show it's up to much, to be honest.
Broadly speaking, I kind of have two issues with the superhero genre that sort of have prevented me from diving in full noise. And the first is money, because for the most part, the superhero genre means super special effects, which means super budget. And the effects needed to sell the universes of these heroes hasn't really historically been affordable enough to create it convincingly for me. Mm. But the boundary between cinema and television is obviously kind of blurring, and TV is where fan fiction of cinema kind of exists these days, you know, with the cinema being a prestige and TV is sort of filling out the side and the sub-stories. And I think that we're just to the point where special effects are affordable enough to kind of create these extended universes, in air quotes.
Well, they've got to be careful with the special effects, because the other day, you know, real groovy, Johnny. Do you remember when we were playing? This is a musical equivalent to what I was saying, but we're playing. I got the poison. I got the remedy. I got the pulsating rhythmical remedy. You know, and some young kid came and went, "This sounds like a kid made this on GarageBand." It's like, and I sort of went, "Hey, that's the," and they went, "Oh no, it does actually nowadays." And yeah. I suppose, you know, we're at a stage where I can put superhero effects on. I can put video Johnny right now and make him look like he's like fending off a meteorite on my phone. I could do that.
I guess if you're creating this show, you probably have to liberate yourself from the idea that people are going to look back and laugh, because that's just going to cripple you.
No, but I'm saying that, but I think it's almost the special effects, we've almost had peak special effects, and now you get back to some decent show, you know, like, sure. Like the actual creating of the show and the character and the depth and the backstory and all that. People aren't so, you can't just blow people away with effects, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally. Well, Arrow is an example of a superhero show that is kind of notoriously in-camera effects. They do all the fight scenes for real, and you know, there's obviously some special effects in there, but it's not quite as insane as, say, The Flash or Legends of Tomorrow or Supergirl. And it's interesting when you kind of look at the money a little bit. It's kind of difficult to unearth the total production budget for these shows, but the most commonly kind of reported figures sort of tell you that each 40-ish minute of episode of television costs about $2 to $3 million to produce, which seems like an enormous amount of money in isolation, right? But then if you do a comparison to a film like, say, The Justice League, which cost $220 million to make, and that's including $25 million roughly of reshoots, even less the bank that the stars are making, you're probably still talking about $1 million per minute of screen time, whereas for a $3 million episode of television that's about 40 minutes long, you're talking about $75,000 worth of screen time.
Yeah, sure.
And I think we're just there now. We're only just there where the effects kind of exist well enough for me to be able to kind of sit there and go, okay, I buy this. And actually, that kind of leads me to, like, buying stuff kind of leads me into my second broad issue with superhero television, which is punching. And that's just, like, there's so much punching on TV.
You mean actual physical punching? I've thought that recently myself about how, because I had a conversation about that with someone. How bizarre. Alex, continue, please.
I just feel like with peak TV, you get peak punching. And I don't like really mean it in like a moralistic way, because I don't really care if people punch each other. But I find that with these shows, there's like this weird contradiction in which like they ask that you activate your compassion, interest in the humanity and the pathos of their main characters, but then similarly ask that you quash that by ignoring the background players.
If it's a baddie, punch him as hard as you can in the face, or with the butt of your pistol across the back of the head to maybe a permanent brain injury forever.
I kind of find that contradiction just a little too difficult to sit with for long periods of viewing time. I couldn't really watch The Raid because it just makes me think about ACC bills and like the years of collective rehabilitation. I've never punched anybody, you know, like, and
Have you ever been punched in the head?
No, I haven't.
It's a leveler.
Yeah.
Johnny, you were taking a punch to the head, I imagine. Cocky young upstart like yourself. Yeah. Your free thinking attitude.
Yes.
So here are five TV shows streaming on Neon that I've judged on a scale of punches, and and I'm not talking like a punch count, but it's like a score in general. And because I'm trying to be iconoclastic, the lower the punches, the better the show. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, has Wonder Woman a big puncher?
Wonder Woman does a lot of punching. Yeah,
she does.
Yeah.
She really does.
She does a lot of like kind of wrist explosion.
Of course she does. She's awesome.
She is awesome. Okay, so number five, Legends of Tomorrow. I'm going to give that one 12 punches. Okay. This is basically a Justice League for the small screen, and all I can really
is
say
it like, is it sort of like a, is it like The Apprentice for Justice League sort of thing?
Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah, at the end it's like, yeah, to some guy telling you you're fired, did you make the big screen or not? Well, actually, interestingly, they even just recast superheroes for the between the big and small screen. DC do and Marvel do as well. There's one punch where Dominic Purcell kind of hits somebody in the back of the head really badly, and they hit the floor like a sack of bricks, and it's pretty grim.
My biggest fear.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, the next one, Doctor Strange, gets 7 punches. Not a TV show, but I wanted to keep everybody on their toes, and also I wanted some Marvel content in there. And also,
That's great. That's a great.
It's I kind of never say this, but
I wouldn't have thought that was a big puncher.
I thought that this film should have been a television show because the chronology was too fast for me. I was like one scene he's kind of struggling through Tibet, and the next he's kind of bending space time, and
like even Benny's been like that, like at the end of it, it's so mammoth that you sort of what the dickens.
I had this incredible like LSD inspired sequence that makes the whole thing worth it, and I think you should check it out just for that.
Excuse me.
I was just referring to his basically acid trip through the universe.
All right.
I kind of think they should have done more to allow that aesthetic to underpin the movie as a whole, but it just left me a little wanting, and I think it's like a good hangover movie, I reckon. Okay. Whew. Supergirl gets 4 punches.
Supergirl?
Yeah. So ironically, this one probably has the most punching in it. In one scene, she's like lying on the ground and the bad guy punches her like fully into the concrete. But I think the superhero the Superman and woman kind of lore is punching is okay.
Yeah, well, Fist of Steel.
And they kind of they reserve it for the Superman and woman kind of and the bad guys that they're facing off against. Bonus points to Supergirl for having Dean Cain in it from The Adventures of Lois and Clark. He plays her dad, her adopted father.
It's amazing. Is pretty awesome.
Jeremiah Danvers is the
he took the fade out pretty well, didn't he? Dean Cain. Was he in Maria Bamford's comedy as well?
I do not know the answer to that question. But if you IMDb him, he's been working for a long time, I think, in a lot of VOD Christian films. She gets bonus points as well for actually caring about the welfare of their background actors. So somebody, you know, in one scene is like, oh my God, please help me. And she zooms over and cares for him. But that's kind of a super person trope. The higher power, you know, that kind of cares for us all. Okay, The Flash, as we were referring to before, that you didn't like, I liked it. I'm giving it one punch. I thought it was really, 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 really well directed. Mm-hmm. The camera's kind of constantly moving in these long, sweeping, circling shots or kind of whipping from shot to shot, and it's kind of cut together with this infectious kinetic energy, which is just really charming to spend time in. And everything, it's kind of form mirroring content. Everything kind of cracks along at this rapid clip that you sort of don't really have time to stop and reflect on the depth of its quality or otherwise, because it's just moving so fast. And it's also kind of neither too self-serious or too arch in its comedy, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. It sort of manages to be that impossible mixture of cartoonish and earnest. Okay, my top superhero show is a show called Legion. Give me a 0 punches.
Legion.
This is kind of a strong tease because it's not actually coming to Neon until November, and I kind of want to do a proper deep dive into it later. But this is basically a show for people who like their superheroes a little more cerebral. It essentially takes place in the wider X-Men universe with Dan Stevens playing a mutant with schizophrenia. And it's created by your boy Noah Hawley.
Excuse me, slow that down.
It's created by your boy Noah Hawley.
Before that, what's it about? Legion's about
It's about a mutant with schizophrenia.
Okay. All right, a mutant with schizophrenia. Go ahead, please.
The other show that your wonderful guy Noah Hawley created that I know you love a lot is Fargo. So there's definitely some pedigree there.
Did you hear the news about Ewan?
No, I didn't.
Ewan McGregor?
Superhero of our time.
Yeah, that's right. That's you know what I'm talking about, eh? Trainspotting Ewan McGregor.
No, yeah, well, yeah, that's I know personally.
Of course, plays does a phenomenal job in that episode of that latest series of Fargo.
Yeah,
he's broken up with his wife because he got caught making out with the hot girl from that series.
Really, Carrie Coon, is that the
no? The one who plays the sister? Oh no, the repo guys. You know, like. I can't remember.
I'm leaving you high and dry here. Sorry, Mikey.
No. Have you seen the latest series of Fargo?
No.
Sucker! It's awesome.
We've talked about this.
But he got caught anyway. So now he's with her. They were passionate at a restaurant. Somebody caught them and told on them.
He's never stepped into the tights, Ewan McGregor. So maybe that'll be his rehabilitation. That's it. That was my top five. Everybody should watch Legion. It's kind of genre-bending horror thriller action, and it's not really, it's far from perfect, but it's a fascinating ride, and it's kind of like anything else in the superhero canon. And you should watch it, and we should talk about it in a couple of weeks.
I've got a couple of superheroes I've thought about. Accident Man, which is very, not a lot of people know about Accident Man. It's just, I read about
it. Is this one you invented? Or?
No, it's from a comic. I can't even remember what comic it's from, but it was, his job is to basically kill people, but always make it look like an accident. Like, one thing he does is he fills up, he's got like a sniper rifle. That's terrible, actually. But I thought the concept's good. Who's the guy, the Punisher's a good, to him.
Punisher's strong.
The Accident Man, he was shooting like crushed glass at a tire of a car going past, so it looked like the tire of the car was, always, everything is made to look like an accident. But let me ask you this, do you consider Judge Dredd to be a superhero?
Well, I was going to say that sounds like a supervillain more than a superhero, and I would Judge Dredd is a little bit of a supervillain. I mean, I guess it depends on your politics. Like, if you like drug dealers, then maybe you think that Judge Dredd is a bit of a bad guy. But
when has Judge Dredd ever sold drugs?
He likes to kill drug dealers.
Oh yeah.
He likes to kill them a lot. He likes to punch them.
He likes justice being so. He is the law.
I would include Judge Dredd in the superhero canon, and I thought that the last film with Carla Bond was amazing.
Fuck yes.
I thought it deserved a sequel.
The one with Sly, not so good. All right. Hey, thank you very much.
Legion, everybody should watch it, and we'll talk about it next time.
When's that on?
It's coming, I think, early November to Neon.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah.
That was Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
And here's a song written by Anthrax about Judge Dredd.